Following is a reading from John Owen's work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. The deprivation or corruption of the mind by sin. There is a twofold state of man with respect to God, which is comprehensive of all individuals in the world. For all men are either unregenerate or regenerate. There being an affirmation and a negation concerning the state of regeneration in the Scripture. One of them may be used concerning every capable subject, every man living is so, or he is not so. And herein, as I suppose, there is a general consent of Christians. Again, it is evident in the Scripture, and we have proved it in our way, that all men are born in an unregenerate condition. This is so positively declared by our Savior that there is no rising up against it. John 3:3-8. Now regeneration, being the delivery of men, or the means of it, from that state and condition in which they are born, or are by nature, we cannot discover in what it consists without a declaration of that state, which it gives us deliverance from. In this, in the first place, we shall insist upon at large, given an account of the state of lapsed nature, under a loss of the original grace of God. And these things I shall handle practically, for the edification of all sorts of believers, and not in the way and method of the schools which yet shall be done elsewhere. In the declaration of the state of corrupted nature after the fall, and before the reparation of it by the grace of Jesus Christ, that is, the effectual operation of the Holy Spirit, the Scripture principally insists on three things. Number one, the corruption and deprivation of the mind, which it calls by the name of darkness and blindness, with a consequence of vanity, ignorance, and folly. Number two, the deprivation of the will and affections, which it expresses several ways, as by weakness or impotency, and stubbornness or obstinacy. Number three, by the general name of death, extended to the condition of the whole soul. And these have various effects and consequences, as in our explanation of them will appear. All men by nature, not enlightened, not renewed in their minds by the saving effectual operation of the Holy Spirit, are in a state of darkness and blindness with respect to God and spiritual things, with a way of pleasing Him and living to Him. Be men otherwise and in other things never so wise, knowing, learned, and skillful. In spiritual things they are dark, blind, ignorant, unless they are renewed in the spirit of their minds by the Holy Ghost. This is a manner which the world cannot endure to hear of, and it is ready to fall into a tumult upon mentioning it. They think it but an artifice which some weak men have got up to reflect on and condemn them who are wiser than themselves. On the like occasion did the Pharisees ask of our Savior that question with pride and scorn, "Are we blind also?" John 9:40. But as He lets them know that their presumption of light and knowledge would serve only to aggravate their sin and condemnation, verse 41, so He plainly tells them that notwithstanding all their boasting, they had neither heard the voice of God at any time nor seen His shape, chapter 5:37. Some at present talk much about the power of the intellectual faculties of our souls, as though they were neither debased, corrupted, impaired, nor depraved. All that disadvantage which has befallen our nature by the entrance of sin is but in the disorder of the affections and the inferior sensitive parts of the soul, which are apt to tumultuate and rebel against that pure untainted light which is in the mind. In this they speak of it without respect to its renovation by the Holy Spirit. First they include that also they are in their discourses most notorious, confused triflers. Indeed, some of them write as if they had never designed once to consult with the Scriptures, and others are plainly got over into the tents of the Pelagians. Setting aside their modern artifices of confident boasting, contemptuous reproaches, and scurrilous railings. It is no difficult undertaking so to demonstrate the deprivation of the minds of men by nature, and their impotency thence to discern spiritual things in a spiritual manner, without a saving effectual work of the Holy Spirit in their renovation. Is it the proudest and most petulant of them shall not be able to return anything of a solid answer thereunto? And in this we plead for nothing but the known doctrine of the ancient Catholic Church, declared in the writings of the most learned fathers and determinations of councils against the Pelagians, whose errors and heresies are again revived among us by Acruus, Sassanian-Arminians. We may to this purpose first consider the testimonies given in the Scripture to the assertion as laid down in general. Matthew 4, verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. Of what kind this darkness was in particular shall be afterward declared. For the present it answers what is proposed, that before the illumination given them by the preaching of the gospel, the people mentioned sat in darkness, or lived under the power of it. And such as was the light in which they were relieved, of the same kind was the darkness under which they were detained. And in the same sense, when Christ preached the gospel, the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, John 1, verse 5. It didn't give place to the light of the truth declared by him, that it might be received in the souls of men. The commission which he gave to Paul the apostle, when he sent him to preach the gospel, was to open the eyes of men, and to turn them from darkness to light, Acts 26, verse 18. Not to a light within them, for internal light is the eye or seeing of the soul, but the darkness was such as consisted in their blindness, and not having their eyes open, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness, Ephesians 5, verse 8. You were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. What is the change and alteration made in the minds of men intended in this expression will afterward appear, but that a great change is proposed, none can doubt. Colossians 1, verse 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness, is also 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the darkness which is in these testimonies ascribed to persons in an unregenerate condition is by Paul compared to that which was at the beginning before the creation of light. Genesis 1, verse 2. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. There was no creature that had a visive faculty. There was darkness subjectively in all, and there was no light to see by. But all was objectively wrapped up in darkness. In this state of things, God, by an almighty act of his power, created light. Verse 3. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And no otherwise is it in this new creation. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shines in the hearts of men, to give them the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Spiritual darkness is in and upon all men, until God, by an almighty and effectual work of the Spirit, shine into them or create light in them. And this darkness is that light within which some boast to be in themselves and others. To clear our way in this matter, we must consider first the nature of the spiritual darkness, what it is, and in what it consists. And then secondly, show its efficacy and power in and on the minds of men, and how they are corrupted by it. First, the term darkness in this case is metaphorical and borrowed from that which is natural. What natural darkness is, and in what it consists, all men know. If they know it not in its cause and reason, yet they know it by its effects. They know it is that which hinders men from all regular operations, which are to be guided by the outward senses. And it is twofold. One, when men have not light to see by, or when the usual light, the only external medium for the discovery of distant objects, is taken from them. So was it with the Egyptians during the 3 days' darkness that was on their land. They could not see for lack of light. They had their visive faculty continued to them, Yet having no light, they saw not one another, neither arose any from its place. Exodus 10, verse 23. For God, probably to augment the terror of his judgment, restrained the virtue of artificial light, as well as he did that which was natural. Number 2. There is darkness to men when they are blind, either born so or made so. Psalm 69:23. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not. So the angel smote the Sodomites with blindness, Genesis 19, verse 11, and Paul the sorcerer, Acts 13, verse 11. However the sun shines, it is all one perpetual night to them that are blind. Answerable to this spiritual darkness may be referred to two heads, for there is an objective darkness, a darkness that is on man, and a subjective darkness, a darkness that is in them. The first consists in the lack of those means in which alone they may be enlightened in the knowledge of God and spiritual things. This is intended in Matthew 4, verse 16. The means is the word of God and the preaching of it, hence it is called a light, Psalm 119, 105. And it is said to enlighten, Psalm 19, verse 8, or to be a light shining in a dark place, 2 Peter 1:19. And it is so termed because it is the outward means of communicating the light of the knowledge of God to the minds of men. What the sun is to the world, as to things natural, that is, the word and the preaching of it to men is to things spiritual. And so our apostle applies what is said of the sun and the firmament as to the enlightening of the world, Psalm 19, verses 1 to 4. To the gospel and the preaching of it, Romans 10, verses 15 and 18. This darkness is upon many in the world, even all to whom the gospel is not declared, or by whom it is not received, where it is or has been so. Some, I know, have entertained a vain imagination about a saving revelation of the knowledge of God by the works of creation and providence, objected to the rational faculties of the minds of men. It is not my purpose here to divert to the confutation of that fancy. Were it so, it were easy to demonstrate that there is no saving revelation of the knowledge of God to sinners, but as he is in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and that so he is not made known but by the word of reconciliation committed to the dispensers of the gospel. Whatever knowledge, therefore, of God may be attained by the means mentioned, as he is the God of nature, ruling over men and requiring obedience from them according to the covenant and law of their creation, yet the knowledge of him as a God in Christ, pardoning sin and saving sinners, is attainable by the gospel only. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to remove and take away this darkness, which until it is done, no man can see the kingdom of God or enter into it. And this he does by sending the word of the gospel into any nation, country, place, or city as he pleases. The gospel does not get ground in any place, nor is restrained from any place or people by accident or by the endeavors of men, but it is sent and disposed of according to the sovereign will and pleasure of the Spirit of God. He gifts, calls, and sends men to the work of preaching it, Acts 13, 2-4, and disposes him unto the places where they shall declare it, either by express revelation, as of old, chapter 16, verses 6 to 10, or guides them by the secret operations of his providence. Thus the dispensation of the light of the gospel, as to times, places, and persons, depends on a sovereign pleasure. Therefore, although we are to take care and pray much about the continuance of the dispensation of the gospel in any place, and its propagation in others, yet need we not to be over solicitous about it. This work and care the Holy Ghost has taken on himself, and will carry it on according to the counsel of God and his purposes concerning the kingdom of Jesus Christ in this world. And thus far, the dispensation of the gospel is only a cause sine qua non of the regeneration of men, and the granting of it depends solely on the will of the Spirit of God. It is subjective darkness, which is of a more direct and immediate consideration in this manner, the nature whereof, with what it does respect, and the influence of it on the minds of men must be declared before we can rightly apprehend the work of the Holy Spirit and its removal by regeneration. This is that in which the Scripture expresses the natural deprivation and corruptions of the minds of men with respect to spiritual things, and a duty we owe to God according to the tenor of the covenant.